profit of a business by the volume of business it's doing. A company today, for instance, can be doing $20 million worth of business, or everybody's flocking to take advantage of an offer that a company is making in the marketplace and so on, and yet they're losing business, losing money. The bigger volume they do, the more money they lose because they're operating on a wrong system. So number one, you don't judge a company by its, you know, its apparent business, the prosperity it seems to be having. And number two escapes me for the moment. So I'll go on to number three, which is you can then consider number two, unless you want to leave a place. All right. Anyway, the second thing is that this comes back to where I was before, in which I said that those who are profiting are doing so much more from the standpoint of pure, unadulterated luck than they are from entrepreneurial skill. I don't mean that by that there isn't any smart individual in the marketplace who has taken things as they are and made something for himself. But I think that a great deal of what is being accomplished, where you do see the actual profit and loss statement of a company, it shows they're showing a profit, is luck. That this individual out of the 100 around him is the one who is making a profit. And he is doing it not so much because of his ability to calculate consumer demand, which is all any business is, but rather because of the fact that he has made judgments that had no basis in logic in accordance with the way things are, and they just happen to turn out all right. In a lot of cases, this is true. And then other businesses are making it by gearing their operations almost totally to the short term, by not basing anything more than a year in advance, by developing all of their plans on a one-year structure, which may prevent them from doing things that would look very attractive on a 5 or 10 year plan, that they could multiply many more times the scope of their business if they could only work in a longer term. But facing things as they are, they're working in the one-year period and profiting out of that by making the most of that situation, without doing it on the basis that we'll make it all for a year and then we'll be destroyed the following year, but rather that we'll make it, we'll think only in terms of the year and not leave ourselves bad consequences for the second year. Am I making myself clear?
There are a great many businesses around which have almost totally elastic market. They can continue to manufacture stuff as hard as they can go and sell everything they make indefinitely. So it comes terribly large to the growth occurs in the economy. These people are quite safe. They can go for as many years as they want to. At any time the thing collapses, they go off and stand with it. And there are a hell of a lot of businesses around that operate like that.
And there are some that are riding on tremendous resources that have been built up in the past, and others who are just willing, as you said, to be vulnerable to it and ready to go down when it does, but in the meantime they've made it. This is another reason for banking your profits as you go along. Not necessarily all of them, but at least not just pyramiding them on paper, because the chances are the paper will be burned when it's all over. Rather, keep drawing out all the time as you go along and take advantage of it and consume. Don't be producing forever, because you don't control it.
Fallacy of all is the growth stock.
Is the growth stock? I think if I could broaden that just a bit, I think the biggest fallacy of all is the stock, period, of any kind, right now. I don't mean that there's anything wrong with stocks per se, but certainly as an investment right now, it is a horrible risk, horrible gamble.
Companies like, I know of one in particular, that's been in business for 25 years, there's never any cash dividend. Someday it's supposed to pay off.
Right. I invested $500 in it 15 years ago, and my stock is now worth $5 million, and I still haven't bought a single ice cream cone as a result of it. Yes?
You can go to the bank and borrow against
it like that. And you can sell it, too. And the only way you would bank your profits at all is by selling off some of the stock as you go along and taking that money and consuming it. Using it for consumption purposes. But that's my point. Don't pyramid it saying, well, it's up to 5 million, and if I just keep it all in there, it'll be 5 billion pretty soon, and another year after that, I'll rule the world. Because you never get there. Yes?
The advantage to having a non-productive commodity like gold is it's highly liquid, but the advantage of having a productive commodity represented by stock is it's earning something for you while you've got it. Why don't you
Well, number one, you can't exchange the stock for that percentage of the company that you supposedly own. So it is not backed up by anything of a specific value, such as a gold receipt might be, in which you would go get the gold or exchange the gold for something else. The stock itself is merely a fraction of a collective whole that is owned by a